Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue with that great text, that great gospel text found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." You remember from our broadcast yesterday that this verse is linked to the one that goes before it that talks about the suffering of Christians. And when Christians suffer for doing righteousness, they are like Jesus Christ. They are following the steps of their Lord and Master, who set the example for us that we should follow in his steps. And so, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, verse 17, for, verse 18, Christ also suffered. And Peter, directed by the Spirit of God, is showing us that our suffering parallels Christ's suffering. It is not the same. It does not have the same purpose. We do not suffer to the same degree, but there are many parallels between the suffering of God's believing children and the suffering of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son. And his suffering was in accordance with God's will, as is ours. His suffering did not destroy him, nor will ours. His suffering accomplished great good, as will ours. And his suffering brought great reward, as shall ours. But we go on from there on this Wednesday, February 12, as we gather around the Word of God once again on this radio broadcast, thanking those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. We must take up the reality that is addressed. For Christ also suffered once for sins. For sins. In many ways, that is almost the missing ingredient in the modern understanding of the gospel. But this is, of course, the reason for the suffering of Christ. This is the reason for the gospel. Christ died because of sins, not his, but ours. Christ also suffered once for sins, not his sins, our sins. Because, as the Bible makes clear, our sin has alienated us from God. Our sin has separated us from the one who created us. And our sin has brought upon us the just condemnation of a holy and righteous God, which means death, which is ultimately eternal destruction. Death is separation. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Our sins have created great liability. They have done great mischief. They have been a great affront to the righteousness of our Maker, the one who has given us life. And if there's going to be any rescue, any mending of this great gap that has been created because of our sins, then there has to be a remedy that is both sufficient and just, merciful but just, and that is the death of Christ. In fact, that was the only way that our sins could be remedied in a merciful and just fashion. For Christ also suffered once for sins. And therefore, we need to understand that the message of man's sinfulness is an essential part of the gospel. If you leave that out, you really don't have the gospel message, because the gospel cannot be understood apart from man's sin. And what is sin? According to 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the laws of God. God has revealed His holy character in His laws, which are given to us in His Word. And to whatever extent any man or woman has an understanding of the laws of God, and the understanding will differ from person to person, admittedly, but every one of us have an understanding in part of the laws of God. Nobody has a perfect understanding of all of the laws of God, truly. But to what extent we have an understanding of the laws of God, and every man, as I repeat, has some understanding. Read about it in Romans chapter 1, about those who have never owned a Bible, never heard a gospel proclamation, have never heard of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, they know when they violate the laws of God, at least some of them. They know that. They have enough knowledge of God and His requirements built in to their mind that they know when they violate the laws of God. And God knows when I violate a law that He has given that I know about. Only God, the perfect judge, could judge in that way, could judge each person according to their knowledge of His law and their, therefore, culpable transgression of His law. Culpable meaning that they're held responsible for it. The Bible tells us that where there is no law, there is no transgression. So, somebody who has not owned a Bible, ever been to church, ever heard a gospel proclamation, who knows very little about the Christian religion, maybe nothing, absolutely nothing about the Christian religion, will not be held to as high a standard as someone who has grown up in a Christian home, attended church all of their life. The more light we have, the more light we are responsible for. The more light we have, then the greater is our transgression as we sin against that greater light. But everyone has enough light to willfully transgress the law of God. And God, the omniscient one, knows perfectly exactly what I knew when I transgressed His law, and when I transgressed with the knowledge that that was a violation of the law of God, then I am held responsible. And that's an integral part of the gospel. Sin is ultimately defiance of God's rightful rule. That's really what it boils down to. It is a transgression of the laws of God, but what is it? It is saying, I will not submit to divine authority. I will not be bound by the laws of God. I will not bend myself to humble obedience to that which God has given. I will do what I want to do. I will make my own choices. I will decide whether or not I'm going to keep or violate this law. I will not place myself under the authority of God. In other words, sin is defiance of God's rightful rule. It is rebellion against the Most High God. And it is deeply ingrained in the fabric of our soul. Sin deceives and brings about our denial that we are even sinning. But again, God knows how much we knew and when we willfully violated His laws, even when we deny it to others and oftentimes even deny it to ourselves. And of course, when we do that, it sears our conscience. We talked about that a few days ago. And it brings us even into greater blindness. We have spiritual blindness, but we can increase our spiritual blindness by continuing down a path of willful rebellion, knowing that we are violating the laws of God. And that is why we need the suffering of Christ upon the cross in our place. Christ also suffered once for sins. That's also why not only is sin an integral part of the gospel, but repentance is a necessary component of the gospel. It is a necessary component of salvation. Why? Because we must come to feel the weight of our sin and rebellion to such an extent that we want to be freed from the bondage of sin. We must come to realize our helplessness to deal with our own sin. As long as we have the idea, I can stop whenever I want to. I can do whatever I choose. I can choose to be good. I can stop sinning. I can start doing the things that please God. I can make my life pleasing to God. Then we don't understand our own nature. We don't understand the nature of sin. And we don't put ourselves in a place to understand or benefit from the gospel, because Jesus Christ didn't come to save people who are able to make themselves righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance is a necessary component of salvation. To realize our helplessness to deal with our own sin, and therefore to cast ourselves upon the mercy of Christ to deal with our sins for us. As one songwriter put it, all the fitness he requires is to feel our need of him. As long as we think that we can supply a fitness that will make us worthy of salvation, that will merit salvation, that really is the concept that most people have, that I can merit salvation from God by doing good, by keeping his commandments. If I could keep most of them, surely that's enough. God knows that nobody keeps them all, but he knows that I'm a good person. Everybody considers themselves to be a good person. Everybody considers themselves to be a good person. How many times I've heard that when talking to someone who's done a great crime, a great offense against others, who have said, well, that wasn't the real me. I know that what I did there was wrong, but I'm really a good person. Everybody seems to think so, don't they? And everybody seems to have the notion that because they are basically a good person, that they can do enough good for God to accept them, that God ought to. He ought to accept them. God knows that I'm basically a good person, and surely he won't send me to hell. Then you don't understand your sin, and you don't understand the need for Christ's death, and you don't understand your need for the gospel, and therefore you in that condition are unsavable. You are only savable when you recognize that the only fitness which he requires, the only fitness which he accepts, is for you to feel your need of him. When you get to the place where you stop thinking that you are good enough, or you can be good enough, you are capable of being good enough, and start recognizing that you can never be good enough, and that in yourself you are doomed and damned, but if you will come to him acknowledging your helplessness and need of salvation, that's the first step. So come back to the same place on the radio dial tomorrow, and we'll meet again. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.